Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Running for Beginners, the podcast that helps everyday people learn how to run smarter, stay motivated, and enjoy the journey 1 mile at a time. Today on Running for Beginners, we're talking about something that goes far beyond pace, distance, or finish lines: mental health. I think I need to do an intro for my next guest because today's episode is a little different. Today, I'm speaking with Sasha Wolf. Sasha is the founder and executive director of Still I Run, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting mental health through running. Inspired by her own experience with depression and anxiety, Sasha founded Still I Run in 2016 after discovering how running helped her cope, stay grounded, and reconnect with her strength. Still I Run is a global nonprofit organization that promotes running for mental well-being so that more people can live healthier lives. Originally created as a small Facebook community, it has turned into something so much more over the last decade, offering programs, resources, and run communities that bring people together with shared purpose. The organization envisions a world where everyone understands and embraces the healing power of physical activity and works to make every step a stride towards improved mental health and well-being. Still I Run believes physical activity is vital to mental health and wellness. Through free programs and inclusive spaces that welcome every story and every pace, the organization helps people show up for themselves and one another, reduce stigma, and build meaningful connections. And just to let you know, I am, as of this year, an ambassador for Still I Run. So you'll hear more about them in my following podcast episodes. All right, people. Well, hi, Sasha. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited too. Like I've told you before, through communications, the mental health aspect and the positive effects it has on running is kind of big with me. And obviously it is with you. But having a bunch of different types of people or entities or people with specialists to talk to about this is really kind of cool. And like I was saying a second ago, I'm really interested in how you went from a Facebook page to a nonprofit organization. What's your background? How did that work out?
My background is in communications and marketing. So I feel like, having that, knowing what a good story is, knowing what people want to see has definitely helped out with things. But in terms of business, I don't have a business background. I've learned everything on the fly. And it's funny, I come from a line of business people. Mm-hmm. And I always resisted the urge to say, I'm not a businesswoman. But like now I've embraced it because I've been able to take Still I Run from a Facebook page to a national nonprofit. But yeah, I started it as a Facebook page because several years prior, I had been hospitalized for depression and anxiety. And when I was in the mental health hospital, I learned how good an extra thing in your mental health toolkit could be, something to go along with medication and therapy. And so I gravitated towards running and found that it was deeply helpful to me. Then I dug into the research around it and was like, oh, this isn't just a Sasha Wolf thing. Like, it's data proven that running or movement can be very helpful for one's mental health. And so I wanted to connect with other people that ran for mental health, and I couldn't find anything in the United States, which was shocking to me.
Yeah.
People are running for their mental health, whether they know it or not. So I put a Facebook page out there on World Mental Health Day, because again, that marketing background, I'm like, oh, what can I tie this to?
Sure.
So October 10 of 2016, I put out a Facebook page with a very hastily designed website I made and shared my story and hoped that I could find other people that ran for mental health in my area. And immediately people start asking, oh, what kinds of programs do you have? How do we donate? How do we get involved? And that's really when I thought, okay, maybe this can be a little more than a running group for me. Maybe this could be something bigger.
It's going to be bigger.
Yeah. So I turned it into a nonprofit the next year. I used LegalZoom to do it because I had no idea what I was doing. And then, you know, for a couple of years after that, I was still afraid to like take money on behalf of Still I Run. So all the proceeds I brought in through like hand stamped jewelry and t-shirts I gave to the mental health hospital that actually helped save my life. But then as it got bigger, I was like, I guess I can have my own programs and we can build Still I Run into something bigger. And it grew from there, like very small. We've been around for 10 years since I started the Facebook page, but it's only been within the last couple of years where it's gotten significantly bigger, where I was able to go full time in 2023. I was able to hire a full time hire last year, another two this year. So it's all kind of been like business, learning business as I go,
sure,
building the aircraft while I'm flying it.
That's pretty cool. That's really exciting, actually. Yeah.
It's super cool.
I kind of knew it was anecdotal too. The whole there's got to be something out there for mental health and the connection, just because I knew that it must have been something, but to not find anything until I found you guys was, it's very shocking. I'm just
100%.
Like you said. Yeah. It's almost very similar to when I put out the podcast. I've only been running since 2022. I'm 57 now. So when I was 53 years old, I started and I went for information and I couldn't find anything for beginning runners. It was all for, do you want to run a sub-3 marathon, or someone who'd done track as a kid, and they were like, their waist is as thick as my forearm. I mean, like it was not me. And I was like, there's got to be something out here. So, I mean, the amazement that there isn't in this day and age for your entity, as well as what I'm trying to do, is shocking. Just shocking.
I think maybe it's because it's so obvious that everybody assumes it's already been done.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right. Yep. Well, all right. Let's get into some questions here. I know you're probably short on time. So the first thing I want to do is I want to ask you if you can take us back to when running first became a meaningful tool for you and your mental health.
Yeah. I had been running on and off in college and high school, but it was mainly like so I could say I was a runner, but I wasn't. It was just something I did for funsies. But I didn't really make that connection until after I was released from the mental health hospital, and I decided that was going to be my thing. Just because I had the running shoes lying around, I had a dog that looked like it needed to go for a walk. And so when I went for that very first walk, jog, whatever we want to call it, I started feeling accomplished from that. Like I had literally just been hospitalized, and now here I was getting out and doing something. So then I kept going, you know, further distances and faster. And that's when it really started to click. Like, I feel remarkably better after I get my run in. So that's when I made that personal decision. This is a permanent part of my toolkit. Like, there's always going to be running, mental health, and medication.
Gotcha. Hi, everybody. It's your host, Mike. As runners, we spend a lot of time thinking about strength, building it, testing it, finding it when things get hard. As a dad of 3 grown kids, I know how lucky I am that our toughest moments were things like scraped knees or late night fevers. We never needed the kind of strength that comes from hearing your child is seriously ill. But countless families do, and that's where St. Jude Children's Research Hospital steps in. St. Jude gives parents something no training plan can prepare you for: hope. They take away the financial burden. No family ever receives a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food. So parents can focus on helping their child live, regardless of the duration or the cost of care. They surround families with care, support, and world-class treatment at a time when fear and uncertainty feel overwhelming. As runners, we know what it means to show up for people, to carry someone when the miles get tough. Supporting St. Jude is one of the most meaningful ways we can do that. If you're able, I invite you to join me in helping the families who need that strength today. Donate at http://heroes.stjude.org/runningforbeginners. That's heroes.stjude.org/runningforbeginners. Thank you. We talked about you went from the Facebook page in 2016 to the nonprofit, but what was happening in your life when you decided to create Still I Run? And what need were you hoping to fill? And I assume we're going back, this would take us back to 2016, right? Or do you consider Still I Run only when you made the nonprofit, or do you consider it the Facebook page?
Okay. Yeah, the Facebook page. That's an interesting question. No one's ever asked me that one before. I would say, you know, I was about to get married in 2017. So, you know, there's the whole, what is my life going to look like now sort of deal. There was a lot of me reading self-help and betterment books. And one of them was Brené Brown's Daring Greatly, and talking about vulnerability and sharing your story and your truth. And I think all of that together was just like, I need Still I Run. I need something like Still I Run in my life. That was also around the same time where I decided I want to run my first marathon. So there's just a lot of different things going on in my world where I needed inner strength and resilience. And I was hoping to get that by finding other people that ran for the same purpose as me.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, The website was, or the Facebook page was in 2016. When was your hospitalization complete? When did you come out and start running for the first time? What year was that? Like the distance between that period and starting the Facebook page? How close or how far apart are we talking?
It was 2011. So it was a couple years where... Okay.
You were running for a while and then you decided to do the Facebook page. Okay.
But it was more like I was scared to do it because mental health has its own stigma, right? But mental health and then being hospitalized has a different kind of stigma around it. So I was 100%. Afraid. I knew if I wanted to find this group, or I knew if I couldn't find this group, I had to create it myself. And if creating it myself meant that I had to be vulnerable, that I had to share my story, because that's what will draw people in. And so I sat on it for a couple of years, clearly, because I was afraid. And the other reason is I didn't think I had any right being the one to start this. I'm very much like a behind the scenes kind of person. And I was like,
I'm nothing special. Why should I? There's got to be someone who's got a better story, a worse story, a harder story.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. So I was scared.
So I'm going to make an assumption here. I assume that you'd continued some kind of therapy, talk therapy or whatever with someone. Did they ever just tell you you're a success? This is like you've, by putting your head on the chopping block, so to speak, that's got to be a big, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, but that's got to be a huge step for them to look at you as a patient and say, oh my gosh.
Yes. But I think the interesting part is I didn't really talk about it much with them because I was like, I didn't want them to think I was a failure either. It's this whole thing, like this imposter syndrome. Like, are they going to think that I can do this? Cause they know all of me. But my therapist now, she's incredible. I've been with her for a few years now. And she's like, you're a badass. You need to embrace that. So she's fully in on it.
That's the word I was looking for. That's the word. I couldn't slip. They embrace it. You need to embrace that power. It really is a superpower. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. It took a while. It took a long, long time. It's been only within the last couple of years where I'm embracing what I've been able to do with Still I Run and even starting it too and how hard it was.
That's awesome. So for someone who's new to Still I Run, how do you explain what the organization does and why it still matters?
Yeah, we are a national nonprofit that promotes the benefits of running for mental health and well-being, so that everyone can live healthier lives. It's not just people with a mental illness. Everybody has mental health and well-being, right? Mm-hmm. Some of us are in crisis. Some of us are managing it quite well. Some of us just want to feel better. And we believe movement, running, can be that tool to help people feeling better. So we do this by having a variety of programs and education that's 100% free. We don't want money to be a barrier for anything. And we welcome people with any story, with any pace, to come join us as a community that is promoting running for mental health and well-being.
Nice. So Still I Run emphasizes that running isn't about performance, and that's awesome. Why is it that distinction so important, especially in a running culture? I mean, because that seems to be pace, 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 or distance, or whatever it is, you know?
I think we gravitate towards forward as a pace because it doesn't matter how fast or slow you go, as long as you're getting out there mentally and physically for your mental health. I think the running community sometimes gets really caught up in numbers and performance, but that's not what we're about. We're about movement for the purpose of mental health and well-being. And we really are looking to kind of reframe that conversation of, you know, running to look a certain way, to perform a certain way, to be a certain way as a runner. And we really just want it to be a tool that people use for their mental health and well-being. And so we really do welcome any pace. Like a lot of the people that go through our programs, they're doing a couch to 5K, which is incredible. Right. You're a runner. Like you don't have to look a certain way or move a certain speed.
Right. Gotcha. So 1 in 5 Americans experiences a mental health condition each year. And I know that's a stat, but I'd also add on to it that even if 1 in 5 personally experiences it, there's got to be more that experience it as a relative or a spouse or a family member of someone else, because there's a connection there as well. So I just wanted to point that out. But how does that reality shape the way Still I Run approaches its work?
I think it shapes our work because we approach everyone with a sense of vulnerability and understanding and empathy. We're not making assumptions about a person's mental health at that snapshot in time. We welcome you no matter where you are, whether you're someone that has a mental health disorder, whether you're managing it, whether you have a loved one, like mental health includes all of us. So we are able to talk to everyone with that bit of empathy and sympathy, if you will.
Okay. So how does Still I Run create a space for people who may feel intimidated by traditional running or fitness communities? I mean, in general, when I talk to people at a gym and talk about running and they're, you know, older or overweight and they're just embarrassed and they're like, no, I could never do this. And I'm like, you've never seen the corral. The corral is full of every size, shape, type of person there is, you know, so it's an all-inclusive community, but it's hard to get people to understand that and see that. So how do you guys do that? How do you do it as an organization?
I think we do that by the types of storytelling that we do. We will talk to anyone and everyone who has been through one of our events, who has joined Team Still I Run, who has done any of our programming. Our social media and our website in general, it's very much about being inclusive of every single pace. We are now moving forward with our new tagline, being forward as a pace, really putting it front and center. But I think the biggest way we really make it seem inclusive is when people come through our programs and the information they receive from us, mm-hmm. the types of individuals we have working from them, we truly, truly believe and live that forward is a pace.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have a program in Grand Rapids, Michigan called the Mental Health Runner Cohort. And we have people who, you know, are slightly overweight or they're in their late 50s or 60s, but we treat everyone the same because we believe in everyone and how these individuals are running regularly. It's just incredible. And then I think when they start telling their own story of how they went from couch to 5K and how they're a runner now, I think that speaks volumes as well. So we're kind of just building this community of people that go through our programs, understand we really mean it when we say forward as a pace, and then tell their friends about it and then get more people involved with running.
Hi, everybody. If you've seen any of my running or lifting posts, you know that I talk about these Roan Honey Packs. They're part of my everyday kit no matter the workout. Roan was created to fuel moments of deep focus and peak performance. With nature's best ingredients, their honey helps you escape the noise and get in the zone. Roan Nutrition's supercharged honey packets is nature's energy in your pocket. Their raw honey-based fuel gives a clean, natural boost of energy. Roan supercharged honey allows for easy digestion, has all natural ingredients, provides sustainable energy, and comes in delicious flavors. And there's also caffeine-free versions. Roan Supercharged Honey is powered by four real ingredients to fuel your flow, each with a purpose. Raw honey for energy, pink Himalayan salt for hydration, caffeine from green tea for clean focus, and lion's mane mushroom for mental clarity. Check them out at roannutrition.com. That's Roan, spelled R-O-N-E. And for a limited time, if you use the code RUNWITHMIKE at checkout, you'll get 20% off your purchase. Just remember to use the code RUNWITHMIKE. So what role does your community play in mental health well-being, and particularly for people who feel isolated?
I think it operates on a few different levels. So for those who feel isolated, a lot of our programs and our social media community, it's all online. So it doesn't matter where you are in the United States, you can still benefit from one of Still I Run's programs, which I think is really useful. But I also think just how welcoming we are in general and where we try and make opportunities for everyone that wants to run. And I think also within the space of running, our organization invites more people into it because we're not looking for the individuals who are, you know, we're not tailoring ourselves, I guess, to the individuals who want PRs, who want to, you know, get on the podium. We're really welcoming anyone that wants to use movement. So I think that's an interesting aspect to bring into the running industry, because a lot of people on the outside look at the running industry, if you will, like to your point, like they're intimidated, but we're trying to make it so that it's not intimidating, so that running is for everyone.
Right. Yeah. I try to do that too in my own little way, but it's not as easy as it seems.
It's not easy, but I think the more we talk about it and share like your experience, my experience, the experience of anyone in our respective communities, it's going to help inspire someone. It's going to let them know that, yes, even you belong in the running space.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of funny because we talked about the different mental health connections or interviews that I've been doing. And when I interviewed Nita Sweeney, her community was just getting out there. She was unable to leave the house. With her depression, she was just, you know, physically unable to. And that community keeps her going and keeps her out there all the time. And that to me was very powerful example of how community, how the running community brought her out and kept her moving, you know, kept her going, basically saved her.
Yeah. And I see that on our Facebook page and within our own small groups, like people will say or text each other, like, I can't get out the door today. And then so many people come up behind them like, yes, you can. Or, hey, I'm going to go for my run at 10 a.m. Will you do it the same time in your time zone? And we'll run virtually together. Like everybody just kind of rallies around each other and inspires one another to get out there and do it. And if you can't do it, if today's not a good day, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great way to look at it. So
it is.
You brought it up. Yeah. You brought it up, the phrase, forward is still a pace. And it resonates with many people. So what does it mean to you personally, though?
For me personally, because I just love to run. So I think of it as sort of a physical thing for me, but way more of a mental thing. Like, I just got to keep going. As long as I'm looking forward, as long as I'm making steps forward in the mental sense, that's what really inspires me. Because this work isn't easy. It's not.
Right.
It gets more complicated the bigger it gets, but like the community in general inspires me to keep moving forward as a business person, as a nonprofit founder, as an executive director. So for me, I take it very mentally.
Sure. No, I mean, I hear the phrase and I take it as something I won't quit. I just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I got to slow down to a walk or a jog or whatever it is on a race or a run or a hill or my first ultra I did last November. I just have to keep moving forward. And it's just a mental game. And that's what that phrase does for me. It just empowers me to not quit, if that's a way to say it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think that's why I think it's such a great phrase, because it means something for everyone, whatever you may be struggling with at that time. So like the hill that you were talking about, or like, you know, your ultra, like it could work for any number of different instances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Okay. So if listeners take away one message from Still I Run's work, what do you hope it is?
One message? Oh, man. I would say that movement is so beneficial for your mental health and well-being. There's studies now that have come out that say running can be just as effective as SSRIs. Not that it's a replacement for it, but it's a very effective tool at doing something very positive for your mental health. If you need the accountability, if you struggle to purchase a brand new pair of run shoes, like Still I Run can help you out with that, because we really want everyone to discover the joy of movement and running for their mental health and well-being.
Very nice. And that's very true, too, about the connection and how it works with mental health and SSRIs. Hey, everybody. I've recently added another staple to my running kit, these UCAN energy gels. I started using them during the Austin Marathon, and I fell in love. So now they're always one of three things I take on my runs, and you should add them to your running kit as well. With UCAN gels, you get advanced glucose control, which is the foundation of energy and performance. You'll have no energy crashes because there's no sugar, which means there's no spikes, which means a steady fuel supply. You'll also have more fat utilization, which enhances your body's ability to burn fat or fuel. And you won't have gut issues because of their unique digestive advantage, even at high carb doses. UCAN has patented a supercarb technology called Live Steady. It's an extended-release supercarb backed by over a dozen clinical trials, has a unique ability to deliver high amounts of energy while keeping glucose levels steady, helping prevent crashes. One of the coolest things about UCAN was that it was created to save a life. Jonah, a boy with glycogen storage disease, needed to prevent life-threatening blood sugar drops. His parents and scientists developed Live Steady, which fuels athletes with steady energy through the power of glucose control. And for a limited time, if you use a code RUNNINGFORBEGINNERS when checking out at ucan.co, you'll get 20% off your purchase. Just use the code RUNNINGFORBEGINNERS. I just read Running is My Therapy, the book, because I'm going to interview the author coming up at the end of this month. So it's really, really interesting on how you don't want to not talk to a therapist or whatever, and not take your medications if you need it, but to add the running as just another tool in your kit to help you. And sometimes I know for me and for my family members, it works in conjunction and as a benefit or a booster, if you will, to the other parts of mental health and therapy that you can use, you know. And that's just one of the things that's, it's kind of profound. Again, it's anecdotal. You run and I feel good. So you think it works, but it's nice to see that there's actually, you know, authors on books or there's topics mm-hmm. or there's everybody out there pointing out, yeah, it does. It does work. It is a good thing. And then obviously with the help of your organization, more people are going to know this. So that's a great thing. Like your therapist said, you are a badass. You should embrace, that superpower because you're reaching so many people. You're doing such a wonderful thing with the organization. And I personally am just proud to just be able to be an ambassador and do my own little help this year. But in general, it's a great thing. You should be very proud. I'm sure you are, but you should know that you're proud.
Thank you. Thank you. It is always good to hear that. I mean, as someone that struggles with their own mental health, it's really hard for me to sometimes take a step back and go, oh, okay, like I did that. But it's good to have the reassurance. And I hope you have a wonderful conversation with Scott Douglas. He is on our advisory board. Super amazing individual. He actually read through our whole Mental Health Runner program because we were very, very intentional about the kinds of stuff we put out there as educators. And he's a lovely individual that I love having on our advisory board. He's so smart. He'll add to this conversation.
I got him.
Oh my goodness. So funny. Also on our advisory board.
So it was, I know, it was you who turned me on to her. I interviewed her and then I told her that I read, you know, Nita's book and she's like, here's another one. You need to contact him. And I'm like, well, I don't just like to blindly contact. So I'm like, can you just put out the feelers? And if he's okay, then I'll get together. And she emailed us both and he's like, hell yeah. So that's how we connected. So it's kind of funny. It's coming full circle. Yeah. It's very cool.
It really is. And I love that you're giving like this moment in time to people working within that intersection of running and mental health. I think that's like, it's fantastic timing on your part.
So it's funny though, because we made the joke, I was going to do the Trinity and you said whatever the fourth thing was.
Yes.
But it turns out to be five now. I'll have five episodes but the cool thing about it, there's two authors, but they're different. One's a personal thing and one is personal. So it's as personal, but he also ties in to all the medical data and, you know, studies. And then there's yourself, the organization. And then there's two actual therapists that do this for a living. One's in the East Coast and then there's Sepeda, over there. But I have to space them out because they all come from they're approaching and talking about everything from a different angle, a different perspective.
Yeah.
It all is running helps your mental well-being. That's the bullet point, but it's all from a different point of view with a different tie-in. So it's like, it's almost like you know, I do one episode a month and I got five of them that are all in mental health. So I have to spread these out to let people know, like there are these things that can help you if you need it. Mm-hmm. There's organizations like yours that people can reach out to. So that's a wonderful thing.
Yep. I think it's fantastic. I can't wait to listen to them all.
Oh, thank you. So I like to ask one last question before I go. Was there anything that I should have asked you or that I didn't ask you that you'd like to bring up or say? Is there something I forgot to ask?
I think I would just love to put a shout out for the Mental Health Runner program that we do. It's open to anyone across the U.S. who may have financial barriers in running for their mental health. And we have a bold goal of helping so many people this year. I would love to help anyone that wants to start running for mental health because we've got the tools and the gear for you.
That's funny. That is the first commercial last episode.
Yes.
And it is, and it's going to be on this one when it's done too. I have the full-on write-up for it, for that program. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
I think it's great. I think that shoes can be such a wonderful gateway into this sport. And it stinks that they're so expensive, but that's where we can help out.
You know, it's kind of funny. I did the Austin Marathon Valentine's Day weekend. And it's the first time I've done it. I went down there and they sent out emails before you showed up to the race, a donation of your old sneakers.
Oh.
There was 30,000 runners. And at the expo, they had huge bins for people to bring whatever shoes. It could be new if you wanted to donate new, but it was basically, these are shoes for people that don't have them or can't, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you go through running and you put on whatever, so many miles and you're like, okay, new pair or whatever it is. Well, those shoes can still be used for someone else for longer periods, you know, depending on what they're doing. Yeah, they did a really nice donation thing.
That is so cool. I mean, aside from the watch, like, debatable if you need a watch, but like, right, the shoes are the next biggest cost, and that,
hush,
you know, that
hush,
stinks.
You need a watch.
Yeah, right.
How dare you say it? You're gonna tell me you don't run with headphones either. I'm gonna kill this episode at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, I definitely run with my watch. And put it out there, for our mental health runner in person cohorts, we do supply the watches as well.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, we mean it when we say, well, you want to help bring down barriers into running for mental health. We truly mean it. So sports bra, watch, whatever it is you need to help make your journey a good one. Even socks, too. Like, if you go out there wearing a pair of cotton socks, you're going to get blisters. But we can provide you with, you know, the proper running socks.
Yeah, which is when you're new, you don't know any better. And so uncomfortable. Well, that's awesome. That's very cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
You very much for your time. I appreciate it. Today, I'm proud to announce that I've become an ambassador for StillIRun.org. StillIRun is a global nonprofit organization that promotes running for mental well-being so that people can live a healthier lives. Running for your mental health isn't about pace or performance. It's about feeling a little more grounded than you did yesterday. Their Mental Health Runner program from Still I Run is a free, self-guided, 12-week program designed to help people use running as a tool for mental well-being. This program provides free running shoes, a Still I Run tech tee, and a guided workbook with training plans, reflections, and education that meets you where you are. If you're ready to take that first step, apply today at stillirun.org/MHRP. Applications are reviewed monthly. If this episode resonated with you, I'd encourage you to check out Still I Run and the work Sasha and her team are doing. And as always, if you're getting value from the show, share this episode with a friend, especially someone who might need to hear that they're not alone. If you'd like to watch the complete video recordings of the show's interviews, be sure to subscribe to my Patreon at Running for Beginners. Because even though the podcast is free to listen to, it isn't free to produce. Even a small monthly subscription goes a long way to keeping the lights on. And there's three tiers to choose from, each providing different perks and merch. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and keep showing up. Because no matter your pace, forward is still a pace. I'll see you in the next episode. And don't forget, let's run forward together. I hope you hit the like button, follow the podcast, and share with your social media contacts. You never know who in your circle has wanted to run, but for whatever reason was too shy or fearful to undertake the challenge. I hope to point out the inclusiveness of running and give information that is accessible and relatable from a relatively new runner's perspective. Don't forget, you're responsible for your own health. Please talk to your doctor if necessary before starting any new physical activity. And nothing said on this podcast by myself or the guests should be construed as medical advice. Any products advertised on the show and purchased using the code RUNWITHMIKE will earn me a fee. This podcast was created, written, produced, edited by myself, Mike Fleming. Show music is Everyday to Play by Ethos.